The Burt Show.
We upload a lot of videos from The Burt Show every single day. So at first look, you're going to go, why is Abby in Mickey Mouse ears? You're also going to say, why does Mo have a piano strapped to his back and have sunglasses on? Kristen, you're dressed very, very smartly. You and I almost dressed identically today.
I know. Are you wearing a bathing suit, though?
I am not wearing a bathing suit, but I am in a tuxedo top with black shorts on. So why are we here, Kristen?
Because the homework assignment for The Burt Show was to watch the Met Gala arrivals, find inspiration from one of the attendees, and try to replicate their outfit today on the show. Because it is so avant-garde, and it's very haute couture, and a lot of people go above and beyond. And so the homework assignment was try to find things around your house, things that you already have, and try to recreate their ensemble.
I will say you guys aren't there nearly, not nearly there yet, but as you get older, you will start realizing the value of time. And while you're doing things, you'll go, I can never have this time back.
Is
and
that
that's
why?
How I felt watching the Met Gala red carpet last night on E! That pompous, what did I call it?
Hold on.
Douchella is what I called it when I was texting you.
Because Bert texted me at 6:50 p.m., I hate you. To which I responded, there are so many reasons why. Can you narrow it down to one? And he goes, Met Gala. Other than that, I love you. On my deathbed, I'll remember you robbed me of this precious time. And then he followed up with, what a bunch of douchebags at Douchella.
That sounds about right.
But it was a fundraiser, and you certainly can't make fun of the theme this year, that's for sure. So let's go around the room and tell everybody which celebrities that we are trying to emulate this morning.
I think we should try to guess, because I watched the whole thing. Mo is obviously the easiest. Yeah. And when I saw him hit the red carpet, I was praying somebody would try to replicate this.
Absolutely.
And you came in strong with Andre 3000.
It just made sense as because I watched a little bit of it, but the Knicks are in the playoffs, so I'm sorry, I couldn't watch the majority of it. The Yankees were on too. It was too much New York sports on.
Yeah, his team is playing my team. Yankees are playing the Padres, so I'm like, she's got 20 minutes of my time,
exactly.
And that's all she's getting.
Exactly.
And then the Yankees went into a rain delay, so I'm like, now she's got 45 minutes of my time.
Congratulations on the first one, by the way.
Thanks.
So I'm watching it, and I'm like, I just felt like there would be a moment when I would know that's my fit. And sure enough, the first one I saw was Andre 3000, whom I love, and his spirit is always, I feel like he's my spirit animal in a way, and I saw the piano on his back. I have a keyboard already in the house. I was like, that's it. Mm-hmm. How do I do it? I don't know. I'll figure it out in the morning. And I did. Strapped it through the book bag. It was a little difficult to get through all of the doors to get here. But outside of that, I think
you pulled it off.
I
think you're pulling it off. Now, again, Abby, what was the theme for last night?
It was super fine tailoring black style, which is celebrating black dandyism, which is a specific style that black men would emulate, specifically in the 18th and 19th centuries to, of course, you know, show their individualism and, you know, kind of fight back after, you know, everything that happened.
Sure. Quote, everything.
You know, the whole slavery thing.
You know, the whole slavery, yada, yada, yada. All right. So who is the celebrity that you are emulating this morning?
So I am emulating none other than Keke Palmer. She came out and she had this gorgeous, like, black headdress on, a beautiful white ball gown, but then, like, a black pantsuit underneath it. And my favorite outfits for the Met Gala are always the ones that you know you couldn't wear on any other red carpet. That, to me, is what separates this event from other red carpets, is you look like you're wearing art and you're not just, like, here to wear a black tuxedo and eat the fish and the, you know, the free dessert for the Met Gala.
Right. Okay. Kristen.
So one of the co-chairs was Pharrell, and I decided to emulate his wife, Helen Lassie-Chan. And so you will notice that I have my, she had a leather bodysuit. I'm wearing my black bathing suit. And she had special Louis Vuitton tights, and I'm just wearing my My fishnets. We have somewhat similar shoes, but I did get mine at H&M. I don't think that's where she got hers. And then I do have a little bit of Louis that I can represent.
Okay. Oh, come on.
With the black jacket over the shoulders. But yeah, so I am honoring one of the co-chairs' wife, Helen Lassie-Jan.
It actually works for you. But did you see someone else was wearing those Louis Vuitton tights? Two people wore them on the carpet, and I feel like somebody's stylist is going to get fired.
Oh, no.
Well, so the Louis Vuitton, what they do with the designers is normally all the designers, like, they hand select people they want to work with and they want to dress, and normally everybody's in the know for, like, who that designer picked and what everybody's wearing.
Then I'm shocked that they okayed the same tights, but those are cute.
Mine was a last second decision this morning. I did watch for about 45 minutes last night, the red carpet, and I had something much more ambitious planned, for this morning. But then when I woke up, I went to TMZ and I saw Hailey Bieber in a jacket with her cleavage showing, nothing on underneath, and it was buttoned right, you know, below the boobs, and she had some kind of like black mini skirt type thing on. I didn't have a mini skirt in my closet, so I just put black shorts on. However, there will be a time later on this morning. This is my second bag that I've brought in, and it is much more ambitious.
Oh.
And I would say it was one of the outfits that stood out last night.
Oh, I think I have a guess.
It defied gravity is all I'll say.
It defied gravity.
It defied gravity.
Are you dressing up as Cynthia Erivo?
No. No, okay. I am not. But it's going to take me a little while to put on, and I believe it will only stay on for maybe one segment. And that's why I didn't do it early this morning.
It's not Demi Moore, is it?
I did not see Demi Moore.
Oh, okay.
What does she look like?
She has like a big hula hoop around her head.
No, yeah. It's nothing like that. No.
Is it Lord?
Maybe.
The Burt Show.
Buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
As we mentioned, the Met Gala was last night, and this is the Super Bowl fashion. This is when all the designers pick their favorite celebrities to wear designs that they come up with to match a theme. And as we've mentioned previously, this year's theme is super fine tailoring black style, which is a celebration of a very specific style called black dandyism. So we knew we were going to see a lot of suits, a lot of tailoring, a lot of very structured things showing off, you know, people's bodies, but also kind of like the larger than life structures that they can make with fashion. And I know that there were a couple of people that we were very, very excited to see walk the red carpet, Zendaya being one of them, giving us full on bridal in a long white, not jumpsuit, but a long tailored suit with that beautiful floppy hat that kind of covered up her eye. Kim Kardashian kind of had a similar style too with that hat, where it kind of covers up one side of the face. She looked very mysterious walking down the red carpet. But the one person that I think deserves mention more than anybody else is none other than Rihanna. Because not only did she show up and have an incredible on-theme outfit, but she also announced she is pregnant with baby number 3.
Mel, you're never getting the album.
Yeah, never getting the album or the opportunity.
Does a part of you die a little bit every time she announces a pregnancy?
I think so. Absolutely.
She does. Somewhere along the line, she's like, hey, we got to time this out, so I'm pregnant at the Met Gala, so we steal the show, and you are. He was one of the chairmen, right?
Correct, yeah.
This year, right?
Yeah.
So you think they timed this out? Like, okay, if you knock me up now in 9 months, I'll be full-on pregnant at the Met Gala.
I mean, yeah, if you're going to announce a pregnancy at the Super Bowl, how else are you going to, like, top it? You got to go to the Super Bowl of fashion. Yep. So everyone is very excited that she is pregnant with baby number 3, a surprise for everybody, except A$AP Rocky, obviously.
He's very excited to be in that relationship.
As he should be. But there were so many amazing outfits that I loved. Simone Biles looks so good in that bright cobalt blue with that halter. You didn't like?
I loved the train. The train. But the front of the dress was just, that was not it for me.
I just think she's so adorable.
She's just so cute.
She really is.
Mr. Biles. Simone Biles' husband looked amazing as well. Diana Ross looks so good with that massive, massive train. That might be the biggest train I've ever seen on the Met Gala steps in recent history.
That was an entrance. I know Cardi B has had a massive train in the past, and so is Rihanna, but I was like, that is how you enter the Met Gala.
The hardest working woman last night, I don't know what she's called officially, but it's the woman that is right next to the women that are walking the red carpet, and then they start to take their pictures for the paparazzi, and it's the one woman that is running up, almost like that dude in tennis that runs when the tennis ball hits the net. She runs up and then fixes their dress and then runs off the set, but you can see her with almost every woman.
Oh yeah, because they've got to have hands handlers? Because, I mean, some of these masterpieces are, like, so heavy and so difficult to get up. What are very daunting steps, I feel like. I mean, this is already one of the biggest events in Hollywood, and you're just looking up, and everyone's got their big trains on. You're like, oh, my God, I have these huge heels on, and I have this massive skirt behind me. How the heck am I going to make it up here? So they need a little assistance.
One of my favorite things, aside from obviously watching the red carpet, is getting to the red carpet. So a lot of people stay at this hotel called the Carlisle there in New York. And so people are set up there getting pictures of people as they're leaving the hotel. So that's like a mini moment before you get to the Met. But then I was like weather was horrible in New York City last night. Like, it was raining. It was nasty. So these people are coming out, primarily the women in these long trains, and watching literally, I'm trying to remember who it was. And it took 7 people to lift up her dress and to get it into the van so they could get to the venue. It was comical.
Wow. It's so stressful. Now, I will say what's interesting about this theme is I feel like it gave an opportunity for men to really shine. Whereas, I'm not going to lie, I feel like some of the people that typically really pull out all the stops for the Met Gala this year kind of like took a step back. Like, while I love Zendaya, mm-hmm. I'm going to say something controversial. I was a little let down.
It was simple.
It was simple. You know what? I liked it because at the very least, I was like, this is what I can expect to see when she like is in her bridal era. Like, I feel like it was kind of an entrance to her and knowing like, okay, we're getting all these outfits for her upcoming wedding to Tom Holland. So that was very exciting. Cardi B, I feel like normally has like a massive, massive outfit. Last year, she had this huge, huge tulle train, whereas she still had a very on theme and great outfit. But still this year, I felt like she kind of took a step back, whereas the men really had a chance to shine with all of their suits and getting to wear something a little bit more avant-garde than just a black tux.
The more you're talking about the fashion at the Met Gala makes me realize that Mo and I should have come in here this morning talking about the fashions in Yankee Stadium last night that we saw.
We should have.
Everybody with those makeshift raincoats on. There's clearly a construction worker. And I love the boots he was wearing last night.
The way he put the hoodie over his head to protect himself.
Good.
Amazing.
So good.
So innovative. All right, there's one thing the men did last year that allegedly got a lot of people kicked off this year's invite list. I'm going to tell you more in your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I'm going to try to control my testiness this morning. I told these guys a couple of minutes ago. I purposely went to bed early last night. I'm going to get a good night's sleep, take my Trazodone at the right time at 8:30, which means at 9 o'clock, I'm going to be out like a light. So I took it at 8:30, even though I was watching a great show. I'm like, no, the show's going to be here tomorrow. So
wait, you take Trazodone like your dog?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, to go to sleep. That's what they're prescribed, yeah.
Aww. They share a prescription.
You and Freddie are so cute. You do everything together.
Yeah, well, I was stacking so much like Delta 9 that the doctor's like, let's try something else.
Okay.
So, Trazodone, 9 o'clock rolls around. I am fading. This is working. Out like a light at 9 o'clock, man. When I wake up, I am refreshed. I am ready to hit the ground. I feel great. Except when I look at the clock, it's 11:30. So I've only slept 2.5 hours, and I could not get back to sleep.
Oh, no.
I tried everything last night. Reading, which always puts me out. That didn't even work. So I'm a little testy this morning.
You should have tried listening to our show to knock you out.
The 9 o'clock hour yesterday. Yeah. So Cassie's here talking about influencers, and I'm already testy because I got an attitude about influencers now.
Oh, you'll have an attitude about this one. So Demi Michael posted this to her profile, and she is not the bad influencer, okay? I want to make that very clear because she's super cool. So she posted this, and it's captioned, "Point of view, dealing with entitled influencers in L.A. And she's sitting in a coffee shop next to a window, so you know it's that good light, with this like beautiful just brick backdrop behind her, a brick wall. So it's actually a really great spot for filming stuff. And she's just filming herself putting on lip gloss, and an influencer walks up to her and has this conversation.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Can I sit where you're sitting?
Why?
So I'm an influencer, and the lighting where you're sitting right now is really good, and I just have to film a video. I just got back from Coachella, and I have to, like, film a brand deal thing, and I just really like the background of this and everything, so do you mind just moving to a different table?
I mean, there's, like, so many other tables, though, that you could, like, choose from.
Yeah, I know, but, like, this is the best lighting out of all the tables, so I was hoping that maybe you could move to one of those tables, and I could sit at this table.
I'm filming something too.
Well, I doubt you have more followers than me, and my followers really need like to see this video. So
okay. How many followers do you have?
I don't know why that's any of your business. Why are you laughing at me? Girl, I'm trying to be nice here.
No, you're not. By asking somebody to move is not nice.
I feel like I'm asking really nice, though. And, like, I don't know. I feel like you're giving me attitude, and I really don't like it. So I don't know why you can't move.
Because I was already sitting here.
Okay, well, I want to sit there, too. Can you believe this? Like, so good. I don't understand why you can't move.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
I'll be sure to. Can I get like your ad?
Sure. I'll give you my ad.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious because Demi Michael has like 500,000 followers and 20 million likes on TikTok. So she's an influencer in her own right. But one of my favorite things, sidebar, she's this gorgeous black woman. If people try to touch her hair, she'll film herself trying to bite them.
Like, I've seen this.
Yeah, she's like normalized biting people when they try to touch your hair. So all of her followers are calling the anonymous influencer the Audacity because nobody knows who it is. But my favorite comment is from Minyoki-san, who says, "Hey guys, I'm one of the Audacity's followers, and I didn't appreciate not getting to see the brand deal thing because she couldn't get the best lighting. She literally asked so nice as well."
Influencer on influencer hate. Uh-huh. It has to stop. The influencers that are driving me crazy are the ones in the gym that set up their tripod and then give you the long sigh if you're the one that walks in front of the camera angle while they're working out. Oh, you haven't seen this?
They sigh. I've seen people set up.
Oh, yeah. No, they'll stop people sometimes.
Are you kidding me?
Did you not see my camera? Uh-huh.
No, wow. I haven't checked IG lately.
Oh, yeah. It happens quite a bit.
Oh, my. So I don't mind people, like, filming in a gym, but when they stop you from doing your thing...
I've told you that I was in Planet Fitness one time and I saw a girl walk into Planet Fitness. She looked great. Looked really, really good. Walks right on over to the mirror and the free weights, right? Sets up her tripod, takes a couple of pictures, never lifted one weight when her pictures were done. Picked up her tripod and her camera and walked right out of Planet Fitness.
I see it on IG all the time. I've never seen it in a while.
Oh, yeah, man. They're there.
I can't believe that.
All right, Kristen. So what his wife is saying and what she actually means, different influence here, might be two different things.
Yeah, very different things. I feel like this husband deserves an award because he knows his wife so well. Like, this is husband of the year material here. So she's doing a video. She's filming her husband. And this is from AJ Greenberg 3473 on Instagram. And she is telling her husband what she says. And then he's telling her what he hears. So she says one thing. And this is what he hears.
When I say I'm tired.
I've had a long day with the kids. Don't dare talk to me anymore. Let me read my book. Shh.
When I say I don't need your help.
Why haven't you done it for me? Please come do it now. I'm upset already that you haven't done it.
When I say I just need some alone time.
It means you need some alone time.
When I say I'm fine.
Oh, everything is not fine. You are very upset.
When I say it's fine, we can just have leftovers.
If you don't go get me Chick-fil-A with a big lemonade and a big french fry, we're going to have a fight.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yep. I think
he's covered them all.
I knew a couple of them, but that's impressive.
Yeah, right?
The Burt Show.
I can't think of a better example for women right now. Right now, that has happened the last couple of weeks, of what your men are thinking about. You know, like when you're on those long car rides with each other, and sometimes you'll just to break the silence in the car, maybe sometimes just go, "Hey, so what are you thinking about?" You say that to your man. And
if I was a worm, would you still love me?
I understand the difference. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I understand the difference here because women's minds are constantly thinking about the now, the past, the future. Dudes are right here, right now. So it's something like, I wonder if... Were French fries, were they originally made in France? That's what we might be thinking about. But there is no better example of how your guy's mind thinks than the last couple of weeks on TikTok and Instagram also. When all these dudes have been arguing with each other now over the last couple of weeks, if 100 men could beat up one gorilla.
It's been the talk of the town for like 2 weeks now.
It's been ridiculous, the amount of fights and disagreements that have been going on between guys now. As one dude asked the question, could one gorilla beat up 100 guys?
I think that one tweet got like 250 million views, literally.
I mean, that's it. Now, to answer it, by the way, if there is an answer, a Harvard-trained primatologist explained yesterday. This will end the debate.
Nuh-uh.
End.
You have an answer.
The debate. It would never happen in real life, because if there was one gorilla and 100 guys that were getting ready to fight this gorilla, he says everything he has learned about gorillas and he has studied them his whole life, they would just take off, man. Yeah. They don't like fighting. They'd be like, oh, man, I am outnumbered here. Maybe I'll try to take one or two of these guys on. And then they'd go, I'm out. So it would never even be a fight.
They're the manatees of the jungle.
Sweet.
They don't want no problem.
They are sweet.
They just want to be on their own.
I do feel like if the gorilla, though, does decide that he has time that day, 100 is not going to do it.
Yeah, I can tell you this, and I'm not going to be in the first dozen.
No, because after you see what the gorilla does to the first 12, who wants to be 13?
Yeah, I'm going to have to be 99 on that one.
So, yeah, I got questions.
Here we go.
Yeah, right. I mean, how do you better than this.
Women, you're better than this. Don't get in on it.
No, let's go ahead. Okay. Let's kind of pull this apart a little bit. So is it 100 dudes at once at their gorilla?
Yep, yes. So, one time. They're trying to jump them.
So all 100. Now, are these are you just going at it, or are you calculating a plan? Are you putting a plan of attack together?
We're talking about men. Do you think there's a plan of attack?
That's why I was...
The plan is ego. That is the plan. We're gonna just swarm on them, and they think something's going to happen.
I'm guessing if Mo and I are trying to brainstorm in this, we're the brain children behind it. It would be, okay, 25 of you guys go to the gorilla's left, 25 go to the right, 25 behind him, 25 in front, and we'll all get him. That's your game plan.
That's actually a really good strategy.
Who goes first?
Yeah.
Someone who looks like Thor. I'm looking at the biggest guy in the room. I'm like, you're going head on.
I don't know. Who wants to go first? You know you're done.
And just your bare hands?
That's it. That's you don't know weapons.
Yeah.
This is no. This is the same question I asked with that OnlyFans model that had relationships with 1,000 guys over the course of a weekend. Who's going to be number 999? You're some raw deal, man.
I don't want to fight anybody. I don't want to fight.
Maybe not. Wrong words?
Yeah, some people are just happy to be there.
True indeed.
He's happy he got invited.
I don't want to fight anything that walks on its fist.
Yeah.
I don't want to get punched by that.
Right.
The men don't stand a chance.
So just to conclude this thing, this is what your men are thinking about on those long drives or while you guys are watching TV or just sitting down. This is such a great example of what your dudes are thinking about. This is it right here. 250, how many million? Is that what you said?
Yeah, the tweet was, most simple tweet in the world, can 100 men beat one gorilla? And it got 250 million views.
Next thing you're going to hear your girlfriends asking, would you love me if I was a gorilla? Or would you fight me?
Would you fight me?
The Burt Show.
All right, Abby, so you ran into one of the Burt Show members' kids, and now you are having an identity crisis.
Yeah, you guys are going to be hanging this over my head for a very, very long time, because I had one of those moments that I feel like is just roast-worthy in the same way that... It might top my Aiden Turner flub that we had on air when Aiden Turner from All My Children called in and I thought he was the other Aiden Turner. This might be slightly more embarrassing only because I feel like I just should have known better. You can give me grace for the celebs, but when it comes to your coworker's children, you should probably know a little better. So I'm a very active person. I love to get my steps in, and luckily I live close to a pretty popular park here in town. So usually every evening I'll put on my headphones, throw on an audiobook, and go out for a little run, a little walk, and get my steps in towards the end of the day. And a couple of days ago, I was out for a walk around 5 p.m., typical walk. It's pretty crowded. There's lots of people out. There's high schoolers. There's college kids who, are out for a run. There's families. There's small ball teams. And as I'm getting towards the end of my walk, I come across a group of high schoolers. And I'm like, those high schoolers look kind of familiar. I'm like looking at the haircut, and it's this very distinct haircut that I've seen a handful of times. It's a long brown haircut, sort of floppy towards the front.
They all have it. All the dudes have it.
Well, that's what I found out, because as I approached this group of high schoolers, I'm like, I know that haircut. I think that's my boss's kid. I think that's Bert's kid, Hollis.
Oh, really?
And as I walk up to them, I go...
Is he dealing drugs in Nat's park
No, no, no. He was hanging... Well, this group of high schoolers was hanging out by the baseball fields, and they had, like, their bikes and golf clubs, so I'm assuming they were out, like, maybe hitting balls at Chastain, like, the public park over there. And I'm like, okay, normally I'm like... You know, I'm pretty sure this is Hollis, but like, you know, it was it weird if I say something? Like, we've never met each other, but like, we follow each other on Instagram.
You've never met Hollis?
Never met Hollis. Face to face.
That's crazy to me. Okay.
Was he not at the Christmas party?
No. I've never met Hollis.
I mean, she would know.
I may have said like hi once, but I don't think we've ever had like a full on conversation. So I was like, is it weird? Because I'm like, we've never really met, but like we follow each other. So if I say something like, is it weird? Am I going to be, is he going to reckon? I don't know. So I'm like kind of overthinking it, but I'm like, you know what? Let me just say hi because like this is my boss's kid. Let me say something.
Well, he's going to be 18 in a couple of weeks, which means he's going to be on Tinder. So I'm sure you guys will see each other.
Thank God my age range isn't that low yet. So I approach him and I, you know, say, hey, how you doing? And I'm kind of looking at these kids and I'm like, this isn't Hollis. I'm sitting there. I'm like, I full on thought, how did I think that this was the one kid in all of Atlanta, Georgia that had this one specific haircut that all of these 17-year-old dudes had? Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, A, I'm blind. B, I'm stupid because I should have done like a double take before just walking up with full chutzpah, like trying to have a conversation. And three, it made me feel so old because I'm like, oh, like I'm becoming that old geezer who's like, well, he's got that haircut. So like that just must, that's like his haircut. This is a trend that nobody my age is following. And for the first time, I felt like I'm on the out. I'm like, oh, this is like the government issued Gen Z haircut that all of these 17-year-old boys have. And I fell for it because I thought it was Hollis. You know, I was some random kid and his group of friends.
So you walk up and you say hi to this group. And what did they do?
They're just dumbfounded. They're looking at me and they're like, lady, we don't know you. They like don't know how to respond. And I'm just looking at them and I go, I'm going to go this way.
So, you know, all these 18-year-old boys too talk a great game. And then this pretty woman comes out of nowhere and says hi. And they're like, oh.
No, towards the end of my walk at Chastain, like there is no pretty woman. Like I am looking like the gorilla who's just gotten beaten up by 100 men. I am not looking good.
There are times where I look around my house and Hollis has his friends over, right? And sincerely, 80% of them have the exact same haircut. There's that, it's the sort of Bieber chic-ish almost, but it's got a little more fluff to it. They all have it, except there's one dude that's just decided, I'm going to shave my head. And then the rest of them have the exact same haircut.
That's exactly how it is. It's like one of those newsboys caps where like it hangs over their forehead, but like it's very short towards the back. It's like they just decided to like cut all their hair and super glue it to their forehead. So yeah, long story short, everyone in Gen Z has the exact same haircut, and I'm old.
Yeah, you get grace on this one, because you're right. They all do have the same haircut.
They all look the same.
They all look the exact same. Look up any high school picture right now, senior picture, and if it's a group picture, 80% of them will have the same haircut. You're good.
Yep, I fell for it.
Yeah. The Bert Show.
I think when you have a health scare, especially when you're young, it's kind of an emotional roller coaster. You learn lessons, then you forget lessons, and you learn lessons, and I think our producer Rebecca is going through that right now.
Yeah, I learned a big lesson about being patient and taking it day by day, not letting anxiety consume you. All the things I hate doing, even though they're like so good for you.
But isn't it so much more fun to freak out over something before you realize, you know, have the definitive answer?
The like calm after the panic attack when you can just like go to sleep. Oh, there's like no better feeling.
When you're totally exhausted by the emotion, the overthinking. Yeah.
There's just nothing else to give. You just fall asleep. It's like wonderful. So I felt like I had a crash course in taking things day by day, understanding that this too shall pass. From like the past 2 years, but these lessons I think are just so hard to actually make stick in your personal life, because something really interesting has been happening to me lately, and that is that I have suddenly been feeling really, really happy.
How do we stop this?
They tried. They tried.
Did we reestablish what the health scare was? In this segment?
I'm going to get into it.
Okay.
I will
let
share.
Her cook.
Let me cook. I've been feeling really happy for like the past, like I would say month and a half. And it's kind of a foreign feeling. I wake up in the morning and the sun is up and I smile at it like a psychopath or a Disney princess. And I just feel so grateful. And I think that's because you guys know I'm a cancer survivor. So battling cancer, shocker, it's not very fun. You don't get to do stuff. You're stuck at home. It's like a cancer quarantine. You're recovering. It's not a good time. And I
you don't
should
say.
Be the slogan of it.
What a great season.
Cancer, not a good time.
10 out of 10, do not recommend. Yes.
I want that on a t-shirt.
you need to put that on a t-shirt.
I'm going to make that. But I feel like lately, it's like suddenly I've climbed this mountain and I'm on top of it and I see the clouds above me and everything just like it's clear again. I'm recovered from everything. I don't have to go to the hospital all the time. I can talk. I can eat. I can see my friends and do whatever I want. And it's an amazing feeling that I truly don't take for granted. I also just started dating a guy that I really, really like.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, my first date, just starting to date. My single friends are really mad at me that I immediately found someone I like, but I do. And it's been really amazing to feel like this is my life now. This might be my new normal. I'm not completely the same as I was before, but I'm feeling really happy about it. But in the back of my head, I was just always thinking, this is too good to be true. Mm-hmm. It feels too good because anxiety will always do that. When is the shoe going to drop? I'm so happy. Found a guy I like. Hanging out with friends. Work is going well. What's going to go wrong?
It's almost like you don't want to talk about it because if you tell people that things are going well, you think somehow the universe is going to go, okay, she's ready for something big.
Yeah. And then something big kind of did happen. So I get scans routinely as someone who battled cancer. I'll be getting scans for the next few years until I get enough clear scans where I am officially deemed cancer-free by my doctors. So I am so grateful to have had many months of clear scans. But my scans that I had months and months ago, my doctors noted a lump in my breast. And they weren't worried about it. I had to go get a mammogram, my first mammogram that I ever had. And 6 months ago, the doctors took a look. I had my mammogram. They told me that they thought it was fine. I just needed to come back in 6 months just to get a baseline, make sure that nothing changed and everything was good. So that baseline mammogram that I had was 2 weeks ago. And I went into it thinking everything was cool. I had no reason to worry. I was not stressed at all, which is crazy for me because I am always stressed. I'm always anxious about my health. And I got in there and I was like, okay, the doctor's going to do the ultrasound. I'm going to get the mammogram. They're going to tell me it's fine. They're going to tell me I'm free to go. I'm going to go have my date and make out and have a great time. Not what happened. My doctor took a look and said, I need a biopsy. Mm-hmm. And immediately I was like, that's it. That's what I was waiting for. That thing around the corner that I knew was going to come get me. That's what that was. It was waiting for me. The shoe is dropping. And so last week, as I was waiting for those results every day, I was just absolutely suffering. I flaked on responsibilities. I flaked on my friends. I couldn't eat. I was so anxious. I couldn't tell anyone. I told Katie because I feel like Katie has like a direct line to God for some reason. Like, I'm like, if I tell.
Is that right?
Literally.
You want to move in?
I tell Katie, I'm like, pray for me, Katie, because I know she's got that line. And she's my work wife. You got to tell your spouse. Yeah. I told Kristen that I couldn't submit stories because I was so stressed about test results. And I instead of living my life, I was suffering every day anxious because I just knew that it was going to come back and it was going to be bad. And then that Thursday came and I got the call and it was benign. It was totally benign. It was a fibroadenoma, which is something that is pretty common for women my age. If there is sort of a lump that you need biopsies for, that's usually what it is.
Sometimes you're just a lumpy gal.
I'm a very fibrous breast tissue gal. They're tough in there. And I sat there and I was so, so grateful, obviously. But I just realized I had spent so much time just suffering for no reason. just every day I could have been eating a hot dog or getting gibbets for my Crocs or making out with this man I like. And instead, I was just predicting a future that never came. So I think all of this to say was such a good lesson for me that even if it's so terrifying and you're so scared and you feel certain that it's not going to go well, it still can. And so don't waste your time just making yourself miserable for no reason.
It's such a great lesson to learn, but it's almost impossible to execute, I feel sometimes. It's just like
wasting time on worrying.
Yeah. I mean, I was told a long time ago, like, why? I think it was Will Smith that had this lesson that we played a long time ago, also when he was skydiving, how he was so stressed out the weeks and the days leading up to the actual dive. And then when he finally dove, he felt fine. And then when his feet hit the ground and he was healthy, he realized, like, the only time I really should have been stressed out was right before I jumped out of the plane, right? That sounds great, but the reality of it is how you'd have to be a robot to not stress out about something like that.
No, it's true. It's so hard to execute, but I want to remember this moment and I want to look back. And next time I'm scared, which I will be scared very soon, probably, because I'm always scared. I just want to remember that things can still go well and I will be contacting my therapist.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
We're going to be doing something this e-buzz that people in the industry call stalling, because I had a very exciting presentation that is currently a dumpster fire that I planned for this e-buzz, and I will be pushing it off until the next e-buzz in hopes that it is less of a dumpster fire. But we're going to be pivoting to a different story that I wanted to talk about today, and I don't know if you guys have seen that new Prince Harry BBC interview that recently came out, but he has reignited all of the royal drama, and it has everything to do with a legal case that he recently lost when it came to his security. Now, when he stepped back from royal duties in 2020, he basically didn't get entitlement to royal security anymore, which is, you know, when you quit a job, you're not entitled to those benefits anymore. But basically, they would give him security on a case-by-case basis, and he was fighting this because he's like, you know, like, I'm Prince Harry. When I was born into this world, like, there's a threat to my life and to my family's life, so I should be able to get security.
Yeah, anytime he goes to the UK, that family's going to need security.
100%. So a lot of people have seen this battle and thought, oh, this is so unfair. This is so heartbreaking for Prince Harry. Like, he shouldn't be, you know, fighting this case. He should be entitled to this security. But I actually listened to a former royal reporter on social media yesterday who actually explained it, and it's way more different than I think Prince Harry is making it out to be in the press. So I think the narrative that the American media is running with, and also what his interview kind of portrays with the BBC, is sort of like, oh, well, he's just not going to get security anytime he goes to the UK. Like, he might not get security if he goes.
But he could pay out of pocket for it if he wanted it.
No. So I think that's why he's fighting it, because he does have his own private security in the United States. But the thing is, he can't bring his private security because they will not give him sensitive UK materials to, you know any threats or kind of like any behind the scenes stuff, which obviously...
What does that mean? Like, you can't have guns and stuff on you?
Well, you can't have guns, for one. But B, you also wouldn't have any access to, like, I'm assuming Buckingham Palace security video footage. So he needs UK security, essentially, is what we're saying. And basically the fight he is trying to battle is either A, give my security the information so I can bring them with me to the UK so I can be protected, or B, I don't want to have to give 30 days notice anytime I come to the UK to get full security. Because right now, that's what his deal is. You can come to the UK, they will give him security depending on that case by case basis, but he has to give a month's heads up. And he's arguing that that puts his family at risk, because if he, you know, goes in an email or whatever and says, hey, my family's coming to the UK July 1st, he believes that that puts his family more at risk than it would if he could just fly out tomorrow on a whim.
Okay, so let's try to dissect this from all sides here, because I know what the common thought is going to be is, like, the dude needs protection, right? I think there are going to be some, maybe, and I don't have all the details, and I'm still a little bit unclear on the whole security thing, but I think that he's not going to get a whole bunch of help from his family when he's pretty much flipped them off for the last couple of years. And he's the one that stepped away from the family and said, look, I don't want this royal thing. That's just not my life. I'm heading out of here. So I think they're all offended by it. He has certainly put a wedge between him and the family, so they're not in any rush to really help him out. He made that decision. He chose his family. He chose his wife over the royal family. This is not my opinion, by the way. I'm just looking at it from all angles. He made a choice to, he picked Megan. So they know that. So they're like, don't ask us for favors now, bro.
Yeah, and you know, if you decide to step away from the royal family and become a commoner, congratulations. This is what commoners have to deal with. Now, I do understand there are bigger threats. Like, you could look at kidnapping threats. He's such a global figure. But at the same time, I wish there was more collaboration from the royal family. But it, to defend them, which I don't often do, Harry has proven himself not to be able to be trusted with family stuff. And I don't mean that in a pejorative way, but think about his tell-all book. He talked about stuff with William, you know, so I wonder from their side of things, like, well, if we share state secrets with you about threats or whatever, is this going to end up in your next interview? Is this going to end up in a book 10 years, 5 years down the line and mess up a bunch of stuff for us? So at some point, it's like, is it a national security threat for the UK to share information with someone who is known to publicly talk about his family now?
And I'm curious to know, too, how this works with the Great Britain citizens, UK citizens. So, like, who pays for that? Like, is it, is it taxpayers? Or, like,
usually when the royals, like Prince William and Harry, travel, unless it's on state business, generally, like, you might see them on coach, they use their personal funds.
Okay.
And keep in mind, nobody on this show really has opinions that are based on any kind of education here. We're not professionals. However, we all watched Bridgerton. So
that
I think
has nothing to do.
The crown. At least use the crown.
The crown.
Thank you.
There
we go.
So we're not here.
That's actually about the British family.
It is sad. In the interview, he says his father is not talking to him. He's like, I don't know how much longer he has. So the whole situation really is just depressing. So, you know, maybe support Harry by watching Meghan's new show and buying her jam.
No, thank you. And it's preserves.
Her preserves.
Jeez, Abby.
And her shortbread that's going to cost you $45 plus shipping and handling. All right, there's one thing that the men did last year at the Met Gala that allegedly got a lot of people kicked off this year's invite list. I'm going to tell you more in your next E-Buzz on the Bird Show.
What's the difference between a jam and a jelly?
There are jam, jelly, and preserves. I think preserves have like chunks in it of the fruit, and then jam has the seeds in it, and the jelly is just
sugar juice.
Okay. Yep.
Duh.
As the question was coming out of my mouth, I realized I don't care.
I knew it. You know what? I can see it on your face.
The Bird Show.